Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 66 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and today we're going to cover this week's nerd topics. We're going to begin in entertainment talk with some streaming service news surrounding some of the mergers. We'll also discuss the first ever live-action remake Disney's made that's now got a PG-13 rating. Some technical details coming out with the Xbox Series X. And then we'll move over into tech news, discussing many topics around our big tech billionaires. We've got a little update on the net neutrality, AI, and its support against depression. And then some recent hacks that you should be aware of. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back, nerds, to episode 66. And let's get started with this week's news by getting Steve a little triggered here, and let's talk about the Batsuit debate continues. So we got that, you know, that we called it the red light special weird release that they did 2 weeks ago with the Batsuit, and it's obviously apparent now that they did that. Because they were about to start filming on city streets. They knew the leaks were coming. They knew people were going to start snapping photos. So they at least controlled the first images that everybody got. And now we see the leaks. You get the stuntman riding the motorcycle with the bat suit. That's and you know, Twitter's been on fire. Internet's been on fire about this bat suit debate.
Yeah, people are like starchly either defending it or really hating on it. I still stand on the ground that I don't like it. I'm not shitting on the movie as a whole yet, but it just raises those same red flags that you get from a DC movie where they just overthink everything. You know, like people are coming back like, you know, this isn't just like some bat suit. It's made from like 7 renditions of comic versions of Batman suits. And it's like, yeah, man, like they're painting by numbers. You know, our friend Dave said flat out, it's like picking your Russian bride from the catalog. Like, I want that hair. I want that, those eyes. I want these lips. And then you put it all together and it's not going to come out as like this, like great themed suit. Like, I don't understand what people are expecting.
I've said it all along. I really don't care about the suit. Like, you can make a good movie with a shitty suit. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Kilmer, motherfucker. Tell that to fucking Val Kilmer.
That is not what made the movie bad, right? It was a bad suit. But I think the suit, we'll see what the movie shapes out to be and what the purpose, you know, how are they painting
Batman? I'm not writing the movie off as a whole yet because of the bat suit, but it's like, oh, come on. Like this is we only know so much, and what we know is the suit looks like shit. So these are the things we know. You know, a lot of people were harsh on Pattinson. Neither one of us were. You know, we both said that let's see it. Could be shit, could be good. Let's let the dude act first before we shit on him. But this is something that's visual. It's the bat suit. This is all sheer visual. We don't need to really wait to know that when I first look at something, you know, something's ugly when you like the second you see it. There, you don't have to let it marinate on your eyes. Like, you just you see something, and when you go gah, like it's bad, and that was the first reaction. I thought it's ugly. It's horrible. It's not as much tactical as it is. It sure as shit ain't practical.
Yeah, well, I'm still, I'll wait and see what happens. I'm not passing too much judgment. It doesn't look spectacular, but I guess I think it could be a whole lot worse too. And if you're going to go with more realism in the movies, I think you got to get away from some of the traditional Batman suits.
I did hear a story on the morning news this morning, I think it was, where they said, I think the stuntman is the guy who actually shared that video. Just because he knew, like, the internet was going to shit on him, and he
dude would be fired.
No, I'm telling you, I think I'm almost 100% positive on the news this morning. They said that that dude leaked it himself because he knew that he was just going to get shit on by the entire internet. So he was like, "Yeah, I fell. Yeah, I fell. Here you go." You know, they said it was, you know, a wet London morning, you know, and but I don't know, it just I don't know what they're paying that dude, because I know friends who ride motorcycles, and I've seen people pull out of really squirrely situations and be perfectly fine. Like, that dude seemed like, you know, like your 5-year-old kid that's just learning how to ride a bike, and it gets a little loose on him, and he just like just hits the eject button on it real quick. You're like, oh, you could have pulled that out, son.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like to be a stuntman, it doesn't mean that he has mastered every mechanical thing he's going to do. No, it just means he's expendable enough that if he gets hurt, we're okay with paying that workman's comp. Like, we can cover it. It's okay. So, yeah, I would be really still surprised if he was the one
who
leaked that.
They pull stuntmen from, like, the same bum fights union.
Yeah, you just got to find one that slightly resembles the same build as Robert Pattinson. And then
oh, that dude's not even close. Like, that dude's way bigger than Robert Pattinson.
He's way, way bigger.
No, I, like I said, I have other reasons to have some skepticism towards this movie. I still, like, I'm still, the jury's still out for me. I'm not going to make any harsh decisions on the Batsuit, but I'm not going to act like I'm not going to go through great lengths to defend this thing. DC fans are bending over backwards to explain this fucking monstrosity. And most,
yeah, but they have to, because everybody else is attacking it. Like, if you want to keep some kind of hope for your movie,
no,
you almost have
it.
To come and defend it.
I get it. I have friends with ugly kids. They, like, you have to defend your ugly child. Like, you're never. Yeah.
In order to have hope for their future, you got to pretend that they're not an abomination.
You know, like, shit happens, you know, like, it's not the kid's fault.
All right, let's not get down too far down to our ugly kids. Let's go with
our motherfucker. I said I had friends.
Oh, yeah. Same. All right, fine. Somebody's ugly kids. Let's not pick on them here. Let's go with.
And if you ain't sure I'm talking about you, then I'm probably talking about you. Like, if you ain't sure, then I'm probably you're. Yeah, it's probably you.
All right. In streaming news, we've got some information coming out with the CBS All Access. So CBS All Access is they've, I guess, got one win in the sense that Picard is doing well. I actually don't know a single human being who's talked to me about the show saying that they watch it, and I still want to watch it, but I'll wait until April when the season ends, and I'll pay for my free trial or 1 month of CBS All Access to watch it. But
they're gonna abolish free trials as soon as that season's over. Like, no free trials.
No, they won't, because they know 90% of the people are too lazy to actually cancel it. There's a reason why I'm sitting on like 6 Audible credits is because my free trial that I got 7 months ago.
Yeah, they always
is still
they
just
always get
charging
you for
me
one
up.
Paid month. They always get you at least for one paid month. Fucking assholes.
So, but the Viacom CBS is they're rolling in other services to tie into CBS All Access. I think they were looking at CBS All Access wasn't going to hold up on its own, especially as you look at what is being rumored now to come out of HBO Max. As they hit, Peacock is rolling a bunch of other stuff into it as well. So CBS Viacom is now tying their CBS All Access with all of their house brands. So Comedy Central, BET, Nickelodeon, MTV, Pluto TV, and all of their Paramount Pictures properties that they've had, all of that's going to roll under CBS Viacom, CBS All Access. So if you were a fan
price,
of it,
like, you know, all right, cool. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess this is a positive for competition. That,
well, it piqued my interest because I have I use Hulu for my live TV, and the channel Comedy Central isn't on Hulu. I still can watch episodes of South Park and Drunk History, and that's about like all I've needed so far because I've been able to stay current on South Park. I could not tell you one other show that is on Comedy Central right now just because I don't have access to it. So if it stays $4.99 and I get a Picard and I can like watch some Comedy Central shows that I don't know about because I'm missing on them. You might,
yeah, and like
you
Nickelodeon might get my, for the kids
you might
and stuff
get my
like
$5.
Like,
yeah, you might get my $5.
Yeah, so
you raise it up to a sawbuck, I'm peace out and again. Like, see ya.
You know, right now it's looking at, I think CBS All Access is $5.99 a month, with ads $9.90 a month if you have no ads on your service. So for $5.99 a month, you know, again, yeah, if they roll in Comedy Central, they roll in Nickelodeon, MTV, and I don't know what's on MTV nowadays, but
sure,
you roll all of it
music.
In together. Yeah, you roll all of it in together, and maybe you get something worth adding to your subscription list for at least a period of time. So you got that in streaming news as far as you know, some positives, and then you also get, when we look at Peacock, one of the competing services that CBS All Access is trying to fight against, the Peacock is looking to acquire Walmart's Vudu video service, which I didn't even know about Vudu or what this is, but apparently
only thing I know about Vudu is when you buy a Blu-ray and it comes with a free digital copy, you can choose what service you want to claim it on, and Vudu sometimes is an option. That is all I know about that service.
Yeah, so they're looking to buy Vudu, which is going to allow them. Vudu also owns rights to some other movies and some other a catalog of movies that are out there. So it will give them some movies to add into it, as well as the infrastructure to add into the Peacock streaming service. That goes along with Fandango Go, which I guess Fandango is already owned by Comcast. I wasn't aware of this. And Fandango Go has another kind of movie streaming service. You buy movies through it, not just using Fandango to buy your movie tickets when you go out. So Fandango Now, combined with Vudu, all rolls under Peacock, just gives more movies and things to this NBC tier, as you see that they're getting ready to roll out their Peacock service. I don't remember exactly when that's coming out, but it's coming out here in the next couple of months.
There needs to be like a phone app that tells you what there's like six companies that own everything. So like there really needs to be a phone app that just lets you know, like, oh, you bought something from this person, it's going to one of these six evil corporations. Like, you think it's just this like innocent, like, hey, I'm Fandango, I hope you get movie tickets and I keep you informed on movie times. Like, no, you're just giving more money to a blood sucking, you know, provider.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that everything kind of converges to just a few companies at the top, especially in the entertainment industry now. You know, you see it definitely in the tech industry, and entertainment industry is no different. There's everything kind of converges to just a handful of major studios or telecom companies like Time Warner, Comcast. Seem to own everything.
Yeah, what always blows my mind about Comcast and Time Warner is that they have like this handshake agreement that there's like a certain line across the country that they don't cross. Like, look, you could have that side of the country, we'll have this side of the country, you know, we'll just rape the country together. You don't fuck with me. Like, it's yeah, like the worst consumer gangbang you could ever possibly imagine. Like, you stay over there, just don't touch me, I'll be over here, and let's just take all this fucking schmuck's money.
Yeah, and then they're only really classified as not being a monopoly because
there's
competition because there's two, and there's competition with, you know, Dish TV, yeah, and DirecTV, and
the WOW network. Yeah.
But in the end, that's the end of our streaming news, as far as just talking about these upcoming mergers and services being provided. We've got some news. We get the rating of the Mulan movie being the first ever live action Disney you know, remake movie and all these series of remakes, getting that PG-13 rating.
Kind of had to see this coming, right? I mean, yeah, it's not surprising.
It's not that surprising, and I'm still looking forward to this movie. I guess this makes me look forward to it more because they got rid of the songs. It's not supposed to be a musical. It's telling the Mulan story, but it's not following the same formula as all the other Disney remakes, where it's pretty much just the same exact thing. Maybe they add in one new song.
Yeah, they're trying to make a real movie. Like, they're actually going to make a real movie about it.
So I like it. And the fact that they committed enough realism and violence to this thing to make it PG-13 is interesting to me. Let's do it.
Yeah, they gave up on being able to consider it like the family, you know, they gave up the family movie genre for like an actual, like, no, it's a movie. Not that, like, I mean, does anybody really pay attention to PG-13? Are you not bringing your 10-year-old because it's PG-13? Like, seriously, you know, like, does anybody care? It's like R or not R, right?
Yeah.
I just don't see parents really giving a shit. Like, as long as it's not R, your kid's coming, you know it. Like, so
I don't think it deters anybody. The only thing it does is just signal to people like us that it's slightly more mature than the average Disney movie, and
motherfucker's gonna get stabbed. Like,
maybe that's worth watching. I don't know.
That's what I know now, is like, oh, somebody's taking an arrow to the chest for sure, and a close-up shot, and it's not gonna be with, like, you know, rainbows and sunshines and flower petals.
But that's all we got on that. Let's move forward to I guess this is really your topic here, as you're the Xbox Series X guy, and looking forward to this. We get some new updates or new news on some of the technical specs coming out of there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to pre-ordering this motherfucker. This thing's going to be bad. So they're talking 12 teraflops of processing power. I mean, I somewhat understand that.
Let's say they're just making shit up now.
Well, so what I do know is that PlayStation's rumored to only have like 9.4. So the PS Pro is at like 4.6, I want to say, and the Xbox One X is at 6. So they're keeping up with being the more powerful machine. What comes with that kind of processing power is 120 hertz frame rate. So we've said it before on the show that's really what I care about now is frame rate. So the fact that some of these games, if you have 120 FPS TV and they develop the game to have that frame rate, some of these games and cutscenes are going to be mind blowing if you're able to take full advantage of that. There were a few specs that I don't know or understand anything about. I'm not going to claim to be a total tech geek, but, backwards compatibility is still up. So anything from the original Xbox to the Series X is going to be playable. One thing they announced too is that if you own it for like the Series X and there's an Xbox One version, you get them both. So like if you go to your friend's house and you have the game downloaded, but you downloaded it for Series X, but you want to play it at your buddy's house and he's only got an Xbox One, that it'll still work. You don't have to buy a secondary game. Cyberpunk came out and announced that too, is that if you buy it for Xbox One, because Cyberpunk comes out pre-Series X.
Yeah.
If you buy it for Xbox One, you get to play it for Series X for free when that comes out. And like, these are the kinds of things that really keep me loving Xbox. Like, you can rest your laurels on all your exclusive games all you want, but it, like, to me, that's only going to last so long. You know, I don't see exclusivity being the thing that drives gamers to consoles for very long. But like the fact that they they care more about the consumer, I think, you know, by doing shit like this. They were first to backwards compatibility. They were spearheading cross-platform, and now they're doubling down on being able to play your games wherever you want, on whatever you want. Like, that's the shit that really kind of impresses me with an Xbox and always keeps me a loyal Xbox purchaser.
They haven't released a price tag yet, right?
$4.99 bare minimum.
Yeah, I think so. I just know that they haven't released it yet. PlayStation was holding out, or they're trying to hold out, releasing their price point, really waiting on Xbox to say something. And I think that, you know, the rumors are PS5 is going to be the $4.99 price point for their base model. So I think it's, you know, you got to assume it's going to be the same. Maybe Xbox comes in just to piss them off late in the game, and they come in and undercut them a little bit, but
nah, they're both going to be priced at the same point. It's going to be the same. It's going to be, and if it ain't $4.99, it's going to be $5.99. Like, it ain't going to be cheaper than $4.99. That's one thing I could definitely put money on.
I think that's probably
as we get through the summer, it's going to be exciting as these things come closer and closer to fruition. Like, I'm looking forward to buying a Series X. I was glad I invested in the 1X. It was definitely a drastic improvement. I've had every form of the Xbox One. Like, I've damn near had every box with a green ring on it they've made so far. Like, I definitely noticed a difference and appreciated buying the 1X. It was worth every penny.
Yeah, well, I won't be getting any next gen consoles, so you'll have to champion that for us.
No, it's going to be dope. I'm excited.
All right. So that takes us through kind of this entertainment and gaming. And let's move into some tech news for the week. And let's start with some good news in the tech world, coming from one of our many tech super billionaires. This first story comes from the richest man in the world. And that's Jeff Bezos. And he has committed to spending $10 billion in the fight against climate change. Now, you normally criticize billionaires or whatever else when they donate a million and they get some pats on the back, and really it's less than a percent of their net worth, and it's laughable in that regard of a percentage. This is still close to 8% of his net worth. This is a pretty significant commitment here.
Well, you want me to be a cynical asshole.
He's only leaving $120 billion left in his net worth.
there are people way broker than me and you that give 10% of their earnings to the church every Sunday. So he's giving 8% of his wealth to climate change. Good job. I appreciate that. I do. You know, you do kind of have to take it. So there's a lot of people shitting on him at the same time, just because people like to shit on everybody, and they're quantifying his effects on climate change with Amazon, with the amount of plastic they put into the world, in the amount, you know. So it's like, you know, you've made hundreds of billions by, you know, raping the planet. Because you give 10 of it back, is that really absolve you of your carbon impact on the world? Like,
it's fair.
I mean, it is a fair criticism. I'm not on that boat necessarily, mm-hmm. but when people bring that up, it's just like, touche.
Yeah, I mean, it's legitimately a fair criticism, though, to say that, you know, you're going to commit $10 billion of your personal worth to combat climate change, yet you're not running a company that is committed to doing everything to reduce your footprint or reduce your impact. You know, that's not a part of their business model.
I would rather him take that $10 billion and buy, you know, $10 billion worth of electric vehicles. I see these Prime vans driving all over the motherfucking place every goddamn day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, take $10 billion and invest in fucking Tesla trucks or some shit. Like, I don't fucking like that. To me, I would appreciate that better. Like, we're not just gonna donate $10 million to a bunch of random charities that are going to possibly squander a big chunk of it, see minimal impact or anything, but say flat out, we're going to invest in a long-term solution so that Amazon's carbon footprint isn't as big, and we're going to take our, you know, $10 million of my personal funds to do so. And you figure that's probably a better deal. You get to invest in your own business and you get the same PR impacts the globe better.
Let's say if Amazon started turning the screws to, let's say, these Chinese manufacturers and other companies that have extremely horrific, ways of doing business and manufacturing, or whatever else. So let's say Amazon just said, anything that comes from your companies is not going to be allowed on our platform unless they're at a certain level or a certain, environmental impact.
If you want to take it that way, that's fine. Because I'm looking over our outline here, and I think it's one of the first weeks in like 3 months we don't have a fuck China segment.
Yeah.
So like, you want to invoke a fuck China kind of subtext right now? That's fine.
We can
go ahead and do that and say, yeah, he could take $10 billion and tighten the screws on Chinese manufacturing so that, you know, the foot carbon. There's a lot of things that you could do with that $10 billion. I don't know what he's going to do with it that's going to actually make anything better.
Me neither. But it, I mean, I guess it's still a good commitment. I still say, pay your taxes. Pay your company's taxes. Let's be a part of that too.
But. And like, these people are so rich that like, we hear $10 billion and it's like a number we can't even quantify, right? Like, we can't even imagine having $10 billion, spending $10 billion, what we could do with $10 billion.
But
to like these guys, like, to me, it's like, when, you know, I remember when I went on my senior trip in high school and I went to Cancun, and every day we would cash in $100 traveler's check for the spending money for the day. And at the time, you got 8.6 pesos for every dollar. So we'd go down at like 1 o'clock hungover, cash in our traveler's check, and they'd hand us 860 pesos. And as a 17-year-old who just graduated high school, that's like the most baller moment of your fucking life. Cause like, a beer was like 12 pesos. The hamburger at the place across the street was like 20 pesos. So you're just like, I cash in $100. I get 800. I'm rich, bitch. And you just go out and you'd fucking party balls. Like to me, the $10 billion to him is that same kind of like feeling. Like, you know, you go to China, you cash in a traveler's check, you get like 100,000 yen. You know, like, you're not rich. It's the same amount of money. It just spends differently. You know, so they're so rich that $10 billion is like, it's like nothing to them. But to us, it's still this huge number that we can't handle and can't deal with. So we give them all this credit.
Yeah, it is really, it's still weird when you put it in like context. It's simple math, right? But a lot of people still think that like a millionaire is rich, right? That,
yeah, no.
If you know somebody who's a millionaire, like, most people don't actually know somebody who is a millionaire. Like, that is still a rich person to the vast majority of this country. And if you took every cent from just a millionaire, it would take 10,000 of them to make them bankrupt to cover this $10 billion donation that he's making, which is still leaving him with $125 billion left over.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's
so we hear just, the number, it hits our brains way differently than it hits the brains of a Mark Cuban, of a Jeff Bezos, of a Zuckerberg. Like, these people,
it's nuts.
These people are playing 3D chess and we're still playing tic-tac-toe over this motherfucker.
But so I watched it's a 2-hour Frontline documentary. It's on YouTube now. From the rise of Amazon, and like, the fact that Jeff Bezos is this filthy rich guy right now, when he was really just a grimy nerd in like this tiny tiny building who, you know, was working as like an investment kind of advisor, and then it was just like, oh, I'm just going to do something on the internet and sell books. And honestly, it is impressive. Like,
oh yeah, you got to like, you got to give
the vision he had for the direction the internet was going, and the way in which he could transform commerce, and how aggressively they just sought to fuck all traditional commerce and to just undercut everybody and just convince everybody to go along for a ride.
Oh, yeah. He's like the Galactus of brick and mortar.
Right? Yeah. and just convinced people just to keep giving them money to invest in the company. It's like, no, we've never turned a profit. Oh, we don't plan on turning a profit. Like, we can't tell you when we're going to turn a profit. It may be a decade from now. It may be 20 years from now. But we're in this for the long haul. And investors were just like, yep, we're in it too. Here's another billion in this, you know, the latest investment round. And it's amazing what they put together. And I don't know how much credit
you can give him. You can also consider him the biggest douchebag on the planet. So for somebody that at probably some point in his life had to eat ramen for dinner, you truly shit on a lot of people. Like, you still truly shit. Like, it's like, for coming from, like, he may not ever been broke, but he wasn't always rich, you know? Yeah. And now to oversee this company that is like running American version of sweatshops with like the way these factories are ran, to where like you got to go get a pack of Oreos on one side of this 8 football field long warehouse, and then there's like 45 seconds, go get the mayonnaise, and it's like total opposite side of this fucking thing. And these Amazon workers are literally just having like fucking anxiety attacks anytime their little fucking pad goes off. And this dude, like, he doesn't act like he ever remembers it. He's not like some Trump kid, you know, who daddy gave him a big loan to start Amazon and he just hit it big off daddy's money. Like, this dude worked his way up. I don't know where his exact starting level was, but it sure as shit wasn't up that high. And for him to be running this massive company that just, takes advantage of human labor and economics, to, you know, like, he took a page from the Waltons at Walmart. He took a page from like every evil company. He's like, oh, I love that dastardly thing you do. Oh, like, oh, give your employees pamphlets on how to get on welfare so they could still work for us, but they won't die on their own. Like, yeah, let's hear. Here we go.
This is where this company, it's gotten so big that I don't even know how much of this is him anymore. It's kind of like the president of the country. Like, we blame him for everything. He didn't know what the fuck's going on. Like, there's no way. No one person can know all of what's going on. Like, no one person can make all of those decisions that lead to all of these things taking place. Like, Jeff Bezos, he just runs the company and he just tells everybody, hey, we're going to have the biggest company. We're going to be the most efficient. We're going to whatever else. And then this is where all like the minions who are trying to, you know, get in line for the next, be a net part of the next C-suite promotions and get themselves point, whatever else. And they're the ones who are doing
like
it.
He's like Keanu Reeves in Speed. Like, he may be driving a bus, but at no point can he slow it down or stop the motherfucker. So I'm just going to plow over what I got to plow over to keep this thing going, because we ain't ever fucking stopping or we're going to blow the fuck up.
All right. Well, we got a Speed reference in there. So that's...
it's not a good day unless you can invoke Keanu.
But let's move on to another group of billionaires and talk about the second richest man, who just bought a Porsche. Was it Taycan?
The new Porsche vehicle. Yeah, the Taycan.
The new Porsche vehicle. So yeah, you get Bill Gates buys one of those, and Elon Musk, ultimately not very happy that he didn't buy a Tesla, and he turns to Twitter, which he pretty much always does for everything that he's thinking, and just simply tweeted that his conversations with Bill Gates have been underwhelming.
You gotta give it the whole context. Yeah. You gotta give it the whole context, because it's just great.
So yeah, it starts with a Tesla website or Tesla newsletter that put that they're disappointed because a lot of people are going to watch the interview and they are going to trust Bill's word for it and not even consider EVs. Why? Because Bill Gates is a really smart guy. And then Elon Musk's reply to that Tesla letter tweet was, "My conversations with Gates have been underwhelming." So it's one tech billionaire just saying that he's completely unimpressed with the other billionaire.
Taken Eve from Marvel and DC would say, "Shots fired."
I love it.
It is great because it is such like just this shitty jab. Like, this is how nerds, rich nerds, you know, make fun of each other and take shots at each other. This is beyond great. And in all honesty, I kind of like, I'm still gonna side with Musk on this one. Is for as smart as Bill Gates is, I'm sure, you know, he came in at the right time to come in computer programming, and he made the most widely used UI in the world, you know. But like, when it comes to actual innovation, I don't know how much this dude's really done. You know what I mean? Like, Elon
makes. Did you say you don't know how much innovation Bill Gates is responsible for?
Since the 80s? Not that much. I think dude peaked in the 90s. Like, I think dude peaked.
I would, again, he was the head of Microsoft. So you got to give him credit for everything that Microsoft is doing. You just touted your love for Xbox and everything else. Like, all of this falls in the arm of Microsoft.
Yeah, but that's not Gates. Gates didn't make the Xbox. He funded it. Gates didn't develop the Xbox. He funded it. He hired people to make the Xbox. It wasn't
so. There is more. When we look at Elon is truly still an engineering CEO. Like, he still is an active part in driving the technology or whatever else.
Like, when it comes to actual innovation,
Bill Gates did drive technology, but yeah, he stepped more into a CEO role. He doesn't seem to still be
writing code. I can see it being a factual statement that like this dude that makes flamethrowers on his fucking spare time isn't impressed by a guy who made the original Windows and really hasn't dabbled in much since the mid 90s. You know, like, he at one point he just got so rich he just started being a huge philanthropist. Now, I'm a fan of Bill Gates. I'm not trying to shit on Bill Gates. I'm siding with Elon. Like, yeah, no, he's no Elon Musk. You know, and this might come from the fact that I'm currently reading Outliers, and that book really made it seem like all these assholes were just born at the right city in the right decade, and went to the right school, and that if any of us had the parents of Bill Gates, despite how dumb or smart we are, we'd all be in his fucking position right now.
I don't think that's what the point of the book is.
It may not be the point, but that's what I took away from it.
But there's definitely some of that, right? There's definitely some of the fact that sometimes you're just handed circumstances that allow you to succeed. And yeah, the tech industry, when you look at Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, everybody who was these big tech pioneers, they were all born within months of each other. All came into computing around the same time in the same kind of manner, had access to computers at a ridiculously young age when computers were like limited only to college professors and people who were making them at IBM or whatever else.
So they lock us in those those mystery rooms where you get locked in for an hour. You got to get all the clues to find out. I can't remember what the actual terminology is of it anymore. I even did one.
Yeah, the escape rooms?
Escape rooms. You give us teams of two, and me and you are captains, and Elon's on one side and Bill's on the other. I'm taking Elon every fucking time. Every fucking time. Okay, let's just put it like that. I'm taking Elon every fucking time.
Yeah, I'd go with that as well. So
you could take the guy who designed the flying toaster screensaver, and I'm out. Okay.
While we're still talking about Elon, I guess we can and Teslas. Maybe Bill was just smart enough to realize that he didn't want to be riding around a Tesla that's speeding down the road because it's tricked by a piece of tape. As that's the latest story that we get is just some simple 3 inches of electrical tape is tricking Teslas into speeding as they read the speed limit signs, and somebody's turning some digits into 50s, and these cars are speeding through neighborhoods.
What's fucking funny is I bet Elon right now is trying to find the kids that figured that out and hire them.
It's possible.
Yeah, I'm not doubting. You know, these kids are taking the sixes in 65 mile per hour speed zones, and they're black taping it so it's an 85 rather than a 65, and all these cars are getting caught speeding and getting tickets. Like, that is like the ultimate nerd troll, I think, that you could possibly do. And to tell you the truth, I could see Elon being like, Who did this? You? You're fucking hired. come on in.
I'd like to know, what is the driver doing when they're going through a 35 mile per hour zone and they're doing 85 because somebody just turned a 3 into an 8?
I wasn't thinking like 35, 85 and a 35, you would hope that you would grab the wheel and pump the brake yourself. But like 65, like you could take a 6, making an 8 really, really easily, just as easily. And like, you might not notice that your car's doing, you know, that fast on its own. Like, that's a good blend. And it's, anything over 19 miles per hour over speed limit's a felony.
Yeah, so what the story was that they were taking, essentially they were taking like 3 inches of tape, and they were extending the center portion of a 3 on 35s. They weren't even connecting it to make it look like an 8. So regular drivers, human drivers, would look at it and still see a 35. But the Teslas were reading that extended center of the 3 as an 8, and they were doing 85 and a 35.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, how do you let that happen as a human?
I'd like to know who was just crushing through some residential area at 85 miles per hour in a Tesla.
You just picture like some dude sipping tea with like glasses on, reading a book, and just looking up like, oh, good God. Whizzing past school buses and shit.
But this goes firmly into our running theme that the worst thing about robots
is humans.
Like,
yeah, this is true.
Humans gonna do a great job. You know, I want to do other shit while I'm riding around in a car. I want an autonomous
vehicle. Don't fuck this up for us, man.
I would love to be doing
all kinds of other shit while my car drives me around. I would love to be doing that. It's going to take a bunch of fucking mischievous millennials to just fuck it up for everybody.
Am I going to blame the millennials?
Because I'm getting old.
I'm stuck in the millennial. that hits me. It hits me deep. All right. Let's move on. We've got a couple other topics here in news to get through. And one is just an update to the repeal of net neutrality that the FCC did. What was it 2018? Was it when the net neutrality repeal was finally chosen, went into effect? But what we get is the FCC has now been forced into to requesting public feedback on the impact or effect of net neutrality.
Yeah, so what happened is Mozilla sued the FCC to try to get net neutrality repealed. And the judges were like, nah, we're going to keep it intact, but we might as well take a look at it. You know, so they basically told the FCC that they have to open up their suggestion box and complaint jar and to the public again. And now people could take a look at it because now it's been enacted. They want to know if there have been any repercussions, and some of the things that have come out of these stories are quite interesting. Not that I think that it's going to get the FCC to change anything, but nope. One story was the Santa Clara, I think, fire department had a vehicle that was used to help fight the forest fires, and Verizon throttled the internet in their car for no reason. They were just like, you know, fuck your data. And they throttled the internet, you know, in firefighting capabilities of the Santa Clara Fire Department. And then according to another study, that was done, they said 70 to 75% of all Netflix and YouTube streaming was being throttled for no reason. No, like...
Oh, it's for a reason. It's so they can prioritize speed for people who are paying them better or that they seem more worthy.
But they said no matter what the traffic is, it could be 3 a.m. and nobody's downloading nothing. They're still throttling your Netflix and YouTube. Fuck y'all. Like, they don't care. So, we'll see what happens as these stories get piled up to the FCC if it goes back to court and the judges look at this shit and say, well, now we got to reevaluate it. I don't see anything happening. I see dudes sipping on that big-ass Reese cup still fucking laughing at all of us.
Yeah, I don't think... Like, I think it's ridiculous that this was like a judge's decision to be like, oh, well, you just have to open yourself up for gathering data on the public opinion. It's like, what a waste of, now these are like government employees that are going to have to slodge through a bunch of our bullshit comments at the FCC, just collecting taxpayer money to just create an Excel spreadsheet of fucking the Twitter trolls and hate and discontent that exists about net neutrality. Knowing that it's going to have zero impact other than the fact that it's just going to get cataloged and gathered and waste some people's time.
Yeah, we just cut the funding of some child health and human services program just so that we could open the complaint box to Ajit Pai and his fucking bullshit net neutrality.
But if you have something to say, feel free to do it. You can find the link to the article that we're referencing here over at thenerdcantina.com/show66. And it gives you instructions on how to go about filing your own personal complaint prior to March 30th when the comment jar ends.
Yeah, go ahead. Shit on them. It's your tax dollars at work. It's your right as American.
All right. And then next story in tech news is that we've got AI is now being used to help pick the right depression medicine, both type and I think actual like quantity for depression medicine.
Yeah, I found this article really like interesting. So what they're doing is they took the brain scans of a bunch of new subjects, and then they took brain scans of some older subjects, and they compiled all the data into this AI program. And what they were able to find is that subjects with certain brain waves had like Zoloft work for them, and certain brain patterns in other subjects had different types of depression medicine that worked better for them. And the old way of doing this without the AI was just to give you Zoloft, wait a month for it to kick in, and see if you were any better. In that month, you could still be having all kinds of panic attacks, anxiety, whatever your mental health issues were. It, even if the Zoloft kicked in, it's still a month of that anxiety. And then in the end, you might not have had anything work. So the fact that this AI can cut that wasting time if like Zoloft isn't for you, or if these other methods aren't better for you, you can instantly just start the treatment that this AI is saying matches your brain patterns, and it will probably work for you. So, I mean, if the study pans out, they're going to do some more testing and things like that. If the study pans out and we can quickly administer the proper medications to mental health patients, that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think there's still a lot of weirdness that goes on in the medical industry where you think it's kind of like a science that doctors should be pretty clear cut on what treatments and things are, but there's so much variance in what one doctor does to treat vice another doctor, and what intervals, what doses, to all that stuff. It varies from person to person. There's no reason why you can't automate some of these things based off of historical trends with machine learning systems that understand hundreds and thousands of successful patients and treatments that could
Now that this is a theory, they're going to ramp up the AI. They're going to ramp up the amount of people getting these brain scans. They're going to quantify as much data as they possibly can to see if this is a legitimate way to diagnose people and move forward. And this is with mental health in this instance. We're going to have hundreds of these types of stories over the next 5 to 10 years. You're going to see, based on this amount of CAT scans, we found these outliers, and now because of that, we can diagnose this faster. And you're going to find it with cancer scans, with all kinds of scans. As we introduce AI into the medical field, it should only greatly impact, positively impact our diagnoses. it's gonna help the medical community. Will it drop prices at all? Fuck no. We're all still gonna go bankrupt from this shit, but at least you could
have your mood properly altered by the prescriptions as you're heading down despair. All right, and then I think we got a little bit left. We got this is just a quick kind of PSA in the sense of this comes out of Forbes.com, but PayPal had a critical login hack. So this isn't necessarily a hack in the system, but it was found as an exploit. Many of us use PayPal. I think the vast majority of us have a PayPal account, whether we actively use it or not to transact on a monthly basis or not. But most people have some kind of PayPal account. And PayPal was found that they had some critical login hacks in the sense that there's a lot of old passwords and things that exist on the dark web that you can go buy for a buck. And the ability to even use those normally had limited utility, because most of these financial websites and stuff that you would want to try to exploit and steal somebody's bank account information or financials, they were all pretty protected. Well, PayPal was found that it wasn't very well protected, that people were able to use these old systems, and where PayPal should be having better authentication to prevent people from just using old credentials to get into accounts, there was some pretty simple workarounds to get around that. Now that it's been brought to light, it should be bypassed. One of the best ways it says to do so is to turn on two-factor authentication, to ensure that you have two-factor authentication, which makes it incredibly difficult for somebody to take old credentials, to log in from a different device, to in any way take old stuff and gain access to your accounts and purchase whatever or transfer money out of your PayPal balance or whatever it happens to be. So make sure that you understand that get in there, turn on two-factor authentication to any of your financial systems that you're involved in. PayPal, we know that there's a current exploit that's out there.
And again, as you just keep saying two-factor, I just in my head had this scene going on of some dude in overalls and no shirt on a chair just going, "Hey, Ma! We need to turn on our two-factor identifications so we don't lose our monies, Ma."
Well, first I want to say, if Cletus is listening to us today, welcome to the Nerd Cantina. And I'm glad you're here. Go ahead and send us an email and we'll help you get set up here. But yeah, there still is in the security world. There is a big education gap that exists. It's not clearly explained. And these things should become, I've said it before, I think two-factor authentication, stuff like that, it just shouldn't be an option. People should just be forced to do it and figure it out. Same as when people were up in arms when they all of a sudden had to start typing in numbers and characters into their passwords. And they're pissed
character?
Off that they can't just...
What the fuck is this character?
What the fuck
shit?
Is a special character? I don't know what a special character is. What makes it so special? And I get it. But it became the standard, and now everybody just knows to just close your eyes, hit the shift key, and just start mashing numbers, and you'll be okay. We progress as we force people's hand. Two-factor authentication should be something that's forced on consumers.
Yeah, Americans don't like anything really forced on them, and the more you try to force it with some of these people, the less they actually want to do it.
Well, there's something to be said about these recent primaries and things politically, but let's leave that aside.
I mean, you had the story of like when Kanye went to TMZ and they got him on camera putting in his passcode, and it was just all ones.
I didn't one, see that, but I'm not surprised
it was,
at all.
It was just all ones. To unlock Kanye's West phone, it was all ones. So like, I mean, people, you can hold their hands, but it's not going to work all the time.
No. All right. Well, one last, I guess, cool story before we close this thing out today. And that's only just because I find this fascinating. So scientists have created a bionic jellyfish, and they were able to create this jellyfish with these microelectronic implants. And then to actually control its behavior, as this little bionic thing. So now I'm just thinking of like super secret spy jellyfish floating around. This is pretty cool.
Well, I mean, you have to like to even understand why this is important too. The way a jellyfish actually swims is quite like intricate and confusing. Like it's how it maneuvers and goes about the oceans is a whole intricate process of nerves and whatnot. So to be able to create that in a machine and mimic it and be able to control it is actually pretty impressive in robotics.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool story in general, just controlling these bionic jellyfish. And then, yeah, the actual systems and everything that were put in place in order to do so. It just continues to show this crazy advance in technology. And
I just don't understand the motivation.
I find it fascinating.
How is like, this going to apply? How is this going to apply to
just,
real
I just,
life?
I just told you, the spy jellyfish. Spy, like, jellyfish? Spy jellyfish, that's it.
Because a spy stingray wouldn't have worked, right? Or a spy fucking octopus. Like, none of these were viable. We had to go jellyfish. It's got to be full jelly. Full fucking jelly or nothing.
I don't know. I find it fascinating.
I find it fascinating that we're capable.
Regardless of the utility of it, it's still fascinating.
The what we did is cool. You know, the how they did it is probably cool.
The why they did it.
The why is just puzzling to me. I don't understand.
And I can provide you no context to that. So, with that said, that's the end of this this week's Nerd News.
Yeah. I didn't go see a movie last week, so there was no review last week. I am going to go try to see the My Hero Academia movie this week and put up a review on that. But we got C2E2 coming on Friday. This is going to be a pretty crazy weekend for the Cantina. We got our book reviewer, Megan McCarthy Bianc, going and interviewing a bunch of authors. I have reserved seating at a few panels. I've gotten the emails. I'm still trying to lock down my schedule. I have a lot to cover, and that's just with the people sending me emails. Once I walk into the con and I run into God only knows who doing God only knows what and book all those interviews, it's going to be a crazy weekend this weekend. So I was going to take the week off, but pretty popular anime movie comes out on Wednesday, and I feel kind of obligated to our anime fans in the group to at least go see that one.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all the stories from C2E2. We had some great interviews that came out of it last year, for like the three people who started from episode one of the Nerd Cantina show. It started last year in response to C2E2 as all of the interviews and audio and things that came out there. We wanted a place to put that and a place for us to talk. So we're now coming close to our year mark as a podcast here, and C2E2 should bring some great content, some great interviews, and always some interesting insider stories coming out of there.
And I'm looking forward to taking the experience that I had last year and building on that. I think my interviewing skills have gotten a little better. I think I have a better kind of game plan going in of what I want to accomplish, how I'm going to accomplish it. I bit off a little more than I could chew last year.
Well, maybe in the C2E2 recap this year, we can talk over the favorite interview that didn't happen last year.
Yeah, man.
I don't think we ever talked about.
We never talked about it online. Podcast. Yeah, we never talked about it. Maybe we'll just do a separate cantina conversation about that whole fucking story, because that was Jesus. That was horrible. Two hours of my life down the toilet in a press room, being schooled on why I shouldn't call women females.
Well, if you want to hear that, just stick around and subscribe to the podcast, as we will cover that here in the near future. And
I might put that on as a Patreon exclusive. You want to hear about my horrible fucking life? Give me a dollar.
Oh man, it just we really should. We should put. All right, we'll talk. We're going to talk about that in the coming episodes. We're already long enough, and I know if we go down this rabbit hole, that's 15 minutes of talk. So, hey, thank you for listening to episode 66 of the Nerd Cantina Show. We're still loving what we're doing here and loving the community. So please join the community over at thenerdcantina.com/community, or just look for us on Facebook for the closed group. Join us over there as we're hovering right around 500 members right now, and it's a good engaged community that just talks over our fandom and our own nerd interests.
Yeah, and hit that share button while you're at it. Yeah,
why not?
It's not that hard. It's free. It's free. Nice little gesture.
All right. Well, with all that said, thanks again for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, nerds.